Sefer Tehillim with the commentary of Ma'am Loez by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 41. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself for listening to this tape or CD, and or listening to our hundreds and hundreds of Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. And also may the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon, and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding chapter 78, Pasuk 18. Vayinasu kel bilvava melishol ochel nenafsham. And they tried Hashem in their heart by asking food for their craving. Although they had mun to eat and plenty of meat, as it says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, they yet demanded meat. According to our Chachamim, many of them only wanted to test Hashem. They did not say so outright, but tried Hashem in their heart by asking food for their craving. They demanded meat and scorned the mun, declaring, "Our soul loves this miserable bread." The Midrash says in the name of Rabbi Levi, compare it to a son who was riding on his father's shoulder. Whenever he saw something and wanted it, he would ask his father for it, and the father handed it to him. This happened once, twice, three times. Then they came across a passerby, and the son asked him, "Have you seen my father anywhere?" The father retorted, "You ride on my shoulder, you get whatever you ask of me, yet you dare ask, 'Have you seen my father?'" He then cast his son down from his shoulder. A dog came along and bit the son. Similarly, when the Jews emerged from Mitzrayim, they were surrounded by the clouds of glory. They asked for bread, and Hashem brought down mun for them, as it says, "And he caused mun to rain upon them for food." They asked for meat, and he brought down meat, as it says, "They asked, and he brought them quails." He provided for their every need, yet they said, "Is Hashem among us or not?" Pasuk that's found in Chumash Amos. So Hashem said, "Thus have you murmured, here is the dog that will bite you." Then a mullah came. They tried Hashem in their heart. They asked for meat only in order to test him, for the mun was a filling and delicious food. The present pasuk is thus a continuation of the earlier pasuk. They might not be as their fathers, a wayward and rebellious generation. Because of their craving for meat, they were stricken and devastated. According to the Chachamim, what they actually craved for was illicit flesh, but they pretended to speak about meat. Hence it says, they tried Hashem in their heart by secretly craving illicit sex, but openly asking food for their craving. Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk 19. Vayedabru belekim amru hayuchal el laroch shulchan bamidbor. Yes, they spoke against Hashem. They said, "Can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness?" They spoke against Hashem. They did not speak openly, but in their hearts. Similarly, the Torah says, "I said in my heart," a pasuk that is found in Kehelis. What did they say? Can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness? Can He really prepare both food and drink? He had already given them water to drink, as we learned in the previous pasuk. And now they also demanded food, as the Torah goes on to explain. Some explained the Torah saying, first they thought of this in their hearts, and then they spoke of it, as we're going to learn right now in our Pasuk Kof. Pasuk 20. Hein hikotsur vayozuvu mayim unecholim yistofu hagam lechem yuchal peis im yochin she'er l'amo. Behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread? Will he provide flesh for his people? The Jews said, "He has brought forth for us water and mun, but let us see a greater wonder. The miracle of mun coming down is, after all, much like the non-miraculous falling of rain and snow. As for water from a rock, this resembles the non-miraculous flow of springs from between rocks, but meat in the wilderness would be out of the ordinary. Can you also bring bread?" They meant meat. Some say that bread literally means bread. Thus we find that the Jews referred to the excellent man bread as this miserable bread as found in Pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar. According to another interpretation, he said, lo, the miracle will not last. The miracle of the water was a one-time miracle. Afterwards, the waters simply continued to flow. On their own, the waters gushed out and streams overflowed each day. There was no change in nature, but this is different. Can he also give bread every day? Will he provide flesh for his people daily? The Jews also said, until now we have eaten man, a spiritual food. But can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness, a table consisting of physical foods for the body, as well as we already learned this pasuk? They answered their own question by pointing out that this should not be difficult. For behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out and streams overflowed, which is a physical phenomenon. If that is so, he can also give bread, real physical bread. He can provide flesh, which is a physical substance, for his own people. They reasoned as follows. Behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out, and this was faulty for two reasons. For one, at first, there were only drops of water, and Moshe continued smiting the rock until water came gushing out violently, which is not good. Similarly, the Gemara says that when Choni Hamagel prayed for rain, it came down so hard that the streets of Yishalayim were flooded. The Chachamim had to ask him to pray once more so the rains would stop. Hence the Jews said here, can he also give bread? Can he who gave water give something that requires fire to warm it? Can he also give meat? For this reason they were punished through fire, measure for measure, as it says, therefore Hashem heard and was angry, and a fire was kindled against Yaakov. This is going to be the next puzzle we're going to learn this week. Others explain that these words are spoken by the Holy Spirit in rebuke to Jews for demanding, can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness? The response came, behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out and streams overflowed, which is contrary to nature. Assuredly then, he can also give bread, and he can provide flesh for his people. Pasuk Chavala, Pasuk 21, Lachain Shama Hashem b'Yisabor v'Eish Nisko v'Yakov v'Gam Af Olah b'Yisrael. Therefore Hashem heard and was angry, and the fire was kindled against Yaakov, and wrath also went up against Israel. Hashem saw the thoughts of their heart, that they did not believe in him. Therefore Hashem heard and was angry. Despite all the wonders he had shown them, as the pasuk earlier we learned, they still did not believe. He delivered them from Mitzrayim and cleaved the sea of Suf for them. He granted all that they asked of him in this regard, yet they did not trust in his deliverance. The present pasuk pertains to two things. It refers to the fire that was kindled among them on account of their sin, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar, and it refers to the deaths at Kivrot HaTava, in the aftermath of their craving for meat. Regarding the latter, his wrath also went up against Israel, who craved, as it says, the wrath of Hashem smote the people. Regarding the miracle of drawing water from the rock, it has already been explained that at first it was only a trickle of water, followed by a gushing flow. Otherwise, the people could claim that the rock gave water because there was a water stored inside the rock. The gushing flow would have been immediate. Yet here they tried Hashem in their heart, contending, can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness? The water had come in stages, first as a trickle, and then flowing like rivers. But what about bread and meat? Can he also give bread? Will he provide flesh for his people out of nothing? As there was this skepticism, therefore Hashem heard and was angry, and the fire was kindled against Yaakov, and wrath also went up against the Jewish people, because they did not believe in Hashem, and did not trust in his deliverance. Therefore Hashem heard. He knew that what they actually demanded in their hearts was to be permitted license that were now forbidden. As it says, and Moshe heard the people weeping about their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of Hashem burnt greatly, and it was evil in the eyes of Moshe. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. Moshe saw only with his eyes, but Hashem heard what was in their hearts, and this was the same as if they actually said it. Pasuk Chavbeis, Pasuk 22. Ki lo ha'aminu elokim v'lo batchu b'shu osu, because they did not believe in Hashem and did not trust in His deliverance. Hashem had promised to supply them with bread daily, but they did not believe in Hashem. Others say they did not believe His promise that He would give them meat, or else that He could bring them into the land of Eretz Yisrael, notwithstanding that He had already brought them deliverance a number of times. They did not trust in His deliverance. This explains the earlier pasuk, they tried Hashem in their heart. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk 23. Vayitzav shechokim imo'al v'dalsei shemayim posach. And He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. The singer continues to explain in what way they did not believe in Hashem, as in the previous pasuk, despite all that He had done for them. He says figuratively, He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven to provide them with abundant water and an abundance of man. But they did not take heed of this in their heart. What is more, although they tried Hashem, He did not punish them by stopping the man. Afterwards too, He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. The skies above refers to the source of the man, and the doors of heaven refers to the lower regions. He opened these in order not to impede the descent of the man from its source. Another interpretation says that this alludes to the layer of dew that came down first and upon which the man was then deposited. Thus, He opened the doors of heaven for the dew in order for the man not to become spoiled. Our sages expound, food for 2,000 years came down as man every day. They say, during the flood, two windows of heaven opened, and the flood lasted 12 months. Here it says that the doors of heaven were opened, which means 8 windows, and since there are 4 windows in each door, this is equal to a quantity that is sufficient for 4 years. Now, take into consideration that the measure of blessing is 500-fold the measure of punishment. Therefore, there is an amount of food sufficient for 2,000 years. It was thus indicated to the Jews that if they conducted themselves properly, they would lack nothing during the era of the Torah for the next 2,000 years. The Mechilta relates, Rabbi Tarfon, the elders, Rabbi Elezer HaModoi were seated. The man was 60 cubits high. Rabbi Elezer HaModoi said to them, "Modoi, how long will you still continue to astonish us?" They responded, "It is based on the pasuk in the Torah." He said, "Which measure is greater, the measure of good or the measure of bad? Say then that the measure of good is greater than the measure of bad." Thus it says regarding the measure of bad, "On that same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken open, and the windows of heaven were opened." Then it is written, 15 cubits upward did the water prevail. Concerning our matter, therefore, we can say that if there were 15 cubits for the water to reach above the mountains, it was at least 15 cubits deep over the valleys. But it says regarding the measure of good, He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. There are 4 windows in the door, and 4 plus 4 is 2 doors, is 8 windows. If corresponding to 2 windows there was a depth of 15 cubits, then corresponding to 8 windows there was 4 times as much, or 60 cubits. So make the calculation that the man was 60 cubits high. He commanded the skies above. Our Chachamim explained this figuratively as follows. In the skies called Chokim, there are millstones which grind mun for the righteous in the world to come. As it says, He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and He caused mun to rain upon them for food, and gave them all the grain of heaven. Our Chachamim mean to say that the Jews in the wilderness tasted the man of the world to come, because they ate up their portion of the world to come. For this reason, the desert generation has no share in the world to come. Hashem had to command the skies to grind man for the righteous, and especially open the doors of heaven, because the Jews did not believe in Hashem, did not trust in His deliverance. Had they not sinned, the conduits of abundance would have gladly functioned on their own. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Pasuk 24. Vayam ter aleihem man le'echol udgan shemayim nosan lamo. And He caused man to rain upon them for food, and gave them of the grain of heaven. The singular likens the descent of man to rain. And He caused man to rain upon them for food, and He gave them of the grain of heaven. For it came down from above, or else because it would come down together with the dew. As it says in Chumash Bamidbar, when the dew fell upon the camp at night, the man fell upon it. It would appear like grain sprouting from the ground, as the Torah goes on to explain. Some explain man had this characteristic property of grain, but it could be transformed into the food of one's desire. Bread has the feature that it requires no preparation, unlike grain, which must first be processed, ground, kneaded, and baked. The man possessed both of these qualities. He caused man to rain upon them for food that can be eaten at once without any preparation, and gave them of the grain of heaven that could take on any taste in the world. The Jews called it man, which connotes preparation. It was a food ready to eat, requiring no expenditure of effort. Thus Moshe said to them, "This is the bread that Hashem has given you to eat at once, and its savor was as of the world to come." Accordingly, the Torah says here, He caused man to rain upon them for food. It was ready for eating at once. What was it? He gave them of the grain of heaven. Then again, the Torah says, because their food was at hand every day without any exertion on their part, they merited the grain of heaven. They could devote themselves totally to Torah study and other works of heaven. The early masters have written that the man came in the form of wheat kernels kneaded into a dough and holding much water. Hence the words Dagan Shemayim Nosan Lamo, literally grain that had water put into it. Meal offerings and the show bread were prepared from such a dough. Pasuk Chof Hei, Pasuk 25. Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish Seder Sholach Lahem Los Shova. Men ate the bread of the mighty angels. He sent them provisions to the full. The singer depicts the excellence of the man that descended from heaven. Man ate the bread of the mighty. This bread came down from the skies, which are like a mighty hardened mirror. Man ate, men born of the earth ate it. He sent them provisions to the full. This bread was so excellent that it came down from heaven, and it came in such abundance they all ate to the full. The Torah refers to the man as Seder, literally game or venison. It contained all the natural foods. The Jews scorned the man and called it this miserable bread, a pasuk that's found in the Chumash Bamidbar. But the singer describes it here as the bread of the mighty. This alludes to the angels in charge of the dew, as it says, He commanded the skies above. He sent them provisions to the full, as it says, and he that gathered little had no lack, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. The Torah emphatically praises the man to counter the complaint of the Jews who faulted its quality, the way it looked, and its taste. Regarding the quality of the man, it is called the bread of the mighty, bread appropriate for strong and mighty men to sustain their strength and stance. It came in such quantities that it says he sent them provisions to the full. They saw with their own eyes how each day enough man came down for 600,000 men and their families. Achachomim teach, according to Rabbi Akiva, this bread made the Jews into angels, it being the nourishment of angels. Rabbi Shmuel says that this bread was absolutely directed into their organs, and there was no waste. The view of Rabbi Akiva is based on the fact that the angels are sustained by the shine of the divine presence, and the man is derived from the supernal light that originates in the will of Hashem. Thus the Jews eating the man and the ministering angels were sustained by the same power. In another interpretation, the spiritual bread also sustained the man, Moshe, when he was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. In other words, the man came down in the merit of Moshe. The Zohar Chodesh explains the reason for washing one's hands before eating it. It is that one should eat in a state of purity to resemble the ministering angels. Thus Reb Chanunna the elder said, what is the pasuk, man ate the bread of the mighty? That is the bread eaten by the ministering angels. What matters it to us? Say, just as the ministering angels eat in holiness, purity, and cleanliness, so must Israel eat in holiness and purity. As it says in Chumash Vayikra, you will sanctify yourselves, and you will be holy, for holy am I. You will sanctify yourselves, that is, washing the hands with water prior to the meal, and you will be holy, that is, washing the hands with water after the meal. For holy, that is good oil, am I. That is the grace after meals. You will sanctify yourself, and when one sits in holiness, purity, and cleanliness, he is superior to the ministering angels, who themselves are holy. Pasuk Chavav, Pasuk 26. Yasa Kodim Bashemayim Bayinag Beuzo Seiman. He caused the east wind to blow in heaven, and by his power he brought on the south wind. After having described the manna descending, the singer depicts the circumstances of the meat coming down. Hashem caused a strong east wind to blow in heaven, and by his power brought on at the same time the south wind. There were two winds, one from the east and one from the south, and these two winds together brought the quail, as it is written, and the wind went out from Hashem and brought quails from the sea, a pasuk that is found in Chumash Bamidbar. Another possible interpretation is that a single wind was blowing from the southeast. First, an east wind brought the quail up against the sky high above the Jewish camp. Then it was necessary to bring the quail down into the desert air over the camp. So by his power he brought on the south wind. It is stressed that these winds were not part of a natural pattern. The sudden wind is a vicious wind that would destroy the world if it were not guided protectively. Thus the Torah says here that the Almighty guided this wind by his power. Then when it reached the Israelite camp, he halted the wind. He thus granted their plea to give them meat as quickly as possible. This stormy south wind is also referred to elsewhere in the Torah, as it says, out of the chamber comes the storm, a pasuk that's found in Iyov. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Pasuk 27. Vayamter aleihem ke'ofer she'er u'chol yamim of kanof. He rained flesh upon them like the dust, and winged fowl like the sand of the seas. The quail was carried by the wind, and in this way he rained flesh upon them like the dust. That is, the fowl first soared up into the sky, and then descended upon the earth 2 cubits high, as found in Chumash Bamidbar. First the pasuk spoke of flesh in a general way, and then it says more specifically that the quail was like the sand of the seas. It is stressed that although the quail was winged fowl, it did not fly in on its own, but was driven down into the camp. The birds fell to the ground like heavy sea sand. It's also indicated that the quail had the taste of fish, for the Jews had expressed a craving for fish. As it says in Chumash Bamidbar, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish. This explains why he brought them sea quail. All fowl too were created out of the slime, a mixture of earth and water. Hence the Torah says, referring to the meat, he rained flesh upon them like the dust, winged fowl like the sand of the seas, refers to the fact that they tasted like fish. Pasuk Chof Ches, Pasuk 28, Vayapel Bekerev Machneu Saviv Lemishkanosov, and he let it fall into the midst of their camp, round about their dwellings. The quail fell into the midst of their camp, and in such a way that the Jews would not have to exert themselves. They should not have to travel far to collect it. It came down into the midst of their camp, round about their individual dwellings. It was round about the entire camp, as it says, and let them fall by the camp, round about the camp. In other words, the quail fell in the middle of the camp, round about the individual dwellings, their tents. It was a miracle that the quail fell round about their dwellings, a sign that Hashem sent them and caused them to fall where they did. For it is natural that birds should flee the presence of human beings. Pasuk Chavtes, Pasuk 29. Vayochlu vayisbu ma'od v'sa'avasam yavo lahem. So they ate and were well filled, and he gave them what they craved. So much quail fell that they ate and were well filled. As it says there, a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils. They ate too much until it became repellent to them. He gave them what they craved. At first they ate enough to satisfy their craving, but they continued to eat and were all well filled, like gluttons. The reason is that he gave them what they craved. Satisfying lust brings on more lust. When stomachs are full, other cravings follow, one after the other. Therefore, if a man wants to save himself, let him cease before he satisfies his first craving completely. The Jews failed to do so. Instead, they ate and were well filled, and their craving brought them to this condition. Why so? For at the outset, they were not estranged from their craving. Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk 30. Lo zoru mitavasam od ochlam befihem. They were not estranged from their craving. Their food was yet in their mouths. When they were not estranged from their craving, they had not yet begun to loaf the eating of meat, as found in Chumash Bamidbar, and their food was yet in their mouths. Then, at the very outset, the wrath of Hashem went up against them and slew the fattest among them. Not only, and we're going to learn this right now in the next pasuk, not only were they not estranged from their craving for meat, but neither were they estranged from their sexual lust. Figuratively, their food was yet in their mouths. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Pasuk 31. V'af alekim olo behem v'yarog v'mishmanehem uvachure Yisrael hechriyah. When the wrath of Hashem went up against them and slew the fattest among them and smote down the young men of Israel, the divine wrath struck and Hashem slew the healthiest and strongest among them. He smote down the young men of Israel, striking them dead. Their youthful vigor was of no avail to them. Corresponding to what the Torah says there, and while the meat was yet between their teeth, the wrath of Hashem was inflamed against the people. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. The singer says here that Hashem slew the fattest Shema Nehem among them. Similarly, the Torah speaks of the vigorous men as fat, as the Pasuk says in Sefer Shoftim, and it says, and they slew all fat men and all men of valor. Hashem slew the fattest among them, literally those who grew fat on the meat they consumed day and night. The very choices among them were slain, as it says there in Chumash Bamidbar, and Hashem smote the people with a very great affliction. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Pasuk 32. V'chol zos chatu od v'lo ha'aminu v'nifl osav. Yet for all this they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Despite these afflictions, as we learned in the previous pasuk, they still sinned. Further, in the matter of spies, as found later on in Chumash, found in Chumash Bamidbar, the Jews did not believe in his wondrous works of the past, and did not believe him capable of bringing them into the land of Eretz Israel. And they said, "Why has Hashem brought us to this land to fall by the sword?" Yet for all this, they still sinned. They tested Hashem 10 times, as it says, "Yet have they tried me 10 times." Some explain that the pasuk alludes to the sin of the spies, the revolt of Korach, and the waters of strife. The spies did not believe in his wondrous works, or that Hashem would bring them into the land and make it their possession. As a result, the Jews said, "Why has Hashem brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and our children should be a prey?" Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Pasuk 33, Vayichal Behevel Yimeihem Ushnosam Babehola. So he ended their days as a breath and their years in terror. Due to the sins of the spies, Hashem decreed that they were to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. During this time, he ended their days as a breath and their years in terror. As the years of each one came to an end, he died at once. As he said to them, "You will bear your iniquities 40 years. That is to say, those who were 20 years of age or older kept dying every year until they all perished. He ended their years in the terror. They all died by the same plague that caused the death of the spies themselves. Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Pasuk 34. Im harogam udroshuhu vishavu vishicharu kel. When he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and earnestly inquired after Hashem. Here the singer tells that Hashem accepted the prayers of the Jews, notwithstanding that they were not offered with fully devout hearts. Please turn tape over. For he grants compassion, forgives iniquity. Thus, he says, when he slew them, even though they were close to being killed, they sought him. They directed themselves to him in prayer. Again and again they returned and earnestly inquired after Hashem in the morning, which is a time of goodwill before Hashem. Others say, when he slew them, they began to seek him, as it says, "We are here, and we will go up to the place which Hashem has promised, for we have sinned," a pasuk that's found in the Chumash Bamidbar. They returned and earnestly inquired after Hashem. They repented and rose in the morning to seek Hashem before turning to any other activity. For the morning is a time when loving kindness dominates. Pasuk Lamed Hei, Pasuk 35. Vayiskru kelekim suram vekel elyon gualam. And they remembered that Hashem was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. As part of their repentance, they remembered that Hashem was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. They understood that He and none other redeems them. Their Redeemer is the Most High God, who can do on earth whatever He wants. They remembered their resolution to repent by speaking of it, as it says the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, "And the burden of Hashem will you mention no more." Pasuk Lamed Vav, Pasuk 36. Pasuk 36. Vayifatuhu befihem uvilshonom yichazlulo. They beguiled him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue. They did not speak with total devotion, having beguiled him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue, but that was only in their own thought. Hashem cannot be misled because He knows their heart. Therefore, He pardoned them for appearing to repent, but He did not pardon them completely, since they did not return to Him wholeheartedly. They beguiled Him. This conveys that Hashem also accepts the prayer of those who are not as completely pure and cleansed as they should be, who only speak from the lips outward. As the Navi Hosea said, "Take with you words and turn to Hashem." In other words, turn to Him even if they are only words and the heart does not know what they mean. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Pasuk 37. The Libam lo nochon imo velo ne'emnu beviso. For their heart was not steadfast with Him, neither were they faithful in His covenant. Prayer requires devout intent, whereas their heart was not steadfast with Him. Their heart did not match the mouth. To be faithful to the covenant is to accept the kingship of Hashem, but they were not faithful in His covenant. Pasuk Lamed Ches, Pasuk 38. V'hu rachum yechaper avon v'lo yashchis v'hir b'lo hashiv apo v'lo yo'i kol chamaso. But He, the Merciful One, grants compassion, forgives iniquity, and does not destroy. Yes, often He turns away His anger and does not stir up all His rage. Notwithstanding that their heart was not steadfast and they were not faithful in His covenant, He, the Merciful One, forgives iniquity. This alludes specifically to the sin
of the golden calf, as it says in the Chumash Shemos, pardon our iniquity, true, it is immense. Though it is immense. Literally, the singer speaks here in the future tense, will forgive. It means the ever-present present. That is to say, forgiveness is constant God's way from generation to generation. If it were otherwise, and men saw that those who only pretended to repent were not saved, they would say that repentance does not help, for they have no knowledge of what is in the heart. Pasuk says in the Chumash Bamidbar, he does not destroy, in allusion to Moshe Aaron halting the plague. Because he is the merciful one, he forgave their iniquity. It was not a total forgiveness, however. He merely did not destroy them completely. Often he turns away his anger via the attribute of mercy. Thus Moshe Rebbe said, oh, now let the power of my Hashem be great. The pasuk that's found in the Chumash Bamidbar. Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, stands for the attribute of mercy. Persistent application of this attribute is required in order to turn away his anger. He does not stir up all his rage. He did not expend all of his rage upon them, for they were but flesh, as the Torah goes on to explain. Another interpretation says, even though they persevere in their misconduct, Hashem keeps turning away his anger, often controlling his anger. He does not stir up all his rage. Gemara says, a man's prayer is not heard unless he puts his life into the palm of his hand. As the pasuk says in Eichon, let us lift up our heart with our hands to the one in the heavens. But when it comes to congressional prayer, he is the merciful one who forgives iniquity. The present pasuk is continued in the following verse. Why does the merciful one forgive iniquity? Why does he not destroy? For if he would not forgive, the spirit within us would pass away and not return. Thus the singer says, so he remembered that they were but flesh, a spirit that passes away and does not come again. A subtle interpretation says, the purpose of the Golus, the exile, is to refine Klal Yisrael, because an established pattern eventually turns into mere routine. New decrees are continually set forth. At the same time, an interval of reprieve is provided between successive afflictions. Thus we find that the children of Israel have enjoyed periods of freedom in different countries at various times. Accordingly, the singer says here, the merciful one forgives iniquity. He punishes, but in a way that does not destroy. For he often turns away his anger. Many times he turns back his anger and does not stir up all of his rage. The Chachamim, the sages, relate this pasuk to the giving of the Torah. When at Sinai the Jews declared, we shall do, and we shall hear, a pasuk that is found in Chumash Shemos, they wanted to fool the divine understanding. The Holy knew all along what was in the recesses of their heart, yet the merciful one forgave their iniquity. They expounded further, you in the day of your planting, you make it grow, the Sag-Sheni. In the morning you make your seed flourish, a pasuk that is found in Yeshayahu. In the day that I planted you as my people, you produce chaff, like shek-shek is likened to segum. In the morning you make your seed flourish. Compare it to someone who had a full row of greens, upon waking up in the morning found it empty. Or else compare it to someone who had a full row of flax, and upon waking up in the morning found only stems. The faith of the Jews was something new and frail, like a newly planted row, and abandoned them for the slightest reason. Pasuk Lamites, Pasuk 39. Vayizkor ki bosor heimo ruach hoylech v'lo yoshuv. So he remembered that they were but flesh, a spirit that passes away and does not come again. Why did Hashem forgive their iniquity? For he remembered that they were but flesh, a spirit that passes away and does not come again. Hashem took account of the fact that human beings are comprised of material substance. Unlike the angels who commit no sin, men are not separated from matter, and it is the nature of flesh and blood to crave physical satisfactions. Thus Hashem said following the flood, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the impulse of man's heart is evil from his youth. pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. The Torah there refers to material substance as the evil impulse. Another reason he forgave their iniquity is that after a spirit, the soul passes away. It does not come again. That is to say, it does not come back again by natural means. This does not exclude resurrection of the dead, which transcends the natural. Some say the Torah conveys here that at the resurrection, the spirit will not possess a material nature. There will no longer be an evil impulse, as it says in Yechezkel, "And I will put a new spirit within you." Another interpretation says the sinner reasons that since man is but flesh and the spirit passes away, therefore let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Why does the merciful one forgive iniquity and does not destroy? For the body contends that it is but flesh and can do nothing without the spirit, while the soul contends that it would not sin if not for the body. For a spirit that passes away does not come again to commit sin. The arguments of both are accepted, and Hashem does not punish with undue severity. When a man remembers that a spirit passes away, man is mortal, he will not be guilty of excessive wrongdoing. He will not deviate unduly to disobey Hashem's will. As it says, he remembers that we are dust. The pasuk that we're going to learn later on in Sefer Tehillim. Pasuk Mem 40. Kama yamruhu bamidbor yativuhu biyishimo. How often they defied him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Because they had only repented from lips outward, they rebelled again and again. They defied him in the wilderness any number of times and grieved him in the desert, even in the desolate desert where they so much depended upon Hashem for all their needs, they defied him. This rebellion caused them the deepest sadness. In a parched and desolate place, devoid of seed or water, they were nourished by a miracle. Man came down from heaven every morning, so they might turn their heart to heaven. Thus it came down on a day-to-day basis to instill them with concern. Should they commit sin, it might cease to appear. They nonetheless defied him. Pasuk Mem Aleph, Pasuk 41. Vayoshuvu vayenasu keel ukedosh Yisrael hisfu. Again and again they tried Hashem and set limits to the Holy One of Israel by signs. After having tested Hashem by demanding water, again and again they tried Hashem. They said, "Why is it that you have brought us up out of Mitzrayim to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" This pasuk is found in the Chumash Shemos. They set limits to the Holy One of Israel by demanding signs that He is not limited. Another possible interpretation is that they set up concrete signs and images for Hashem. Thus the Torah alludes to the sin of the golden calf. The Jews pointed to a material form as God, and the 70 of this transgression equaled the sum total of all their other transgressions. Another interpretation says they were telling Hashem, the Holy One of Israel, how to run the world, like a teacher drawing up signs for his pupils. Thus the Torah said about them, "A generation that set not its heart right." It's a pasuk that we learned all in this parak already. A subtle interpretation says Hashem punished the desert generation because He remembered that they were but flesh. They were punished for having degraded and forsaken their name, man, and became instead merely a form of flesh. The Chachamim expounds similarly on the pasuk that says in Bereishis, "My spirit would not always strive on account of man, for he is even flesh." Instead of acting in accordance with the name Adam, they acquired the name flesh. Hashem thus decreed that their spirit should pass away and not come again, because they have defied him so often in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Again and again they tried Hashem and set limits to the Holy One of Israel. Some perceive this pasuk as alluding to the time of the judges, the Shoftim, when after the death of Yeshua and the elders, the Jews worshipped the Baal and the Astoreth. They set limits to the Holy One of Israel, and their thought they set limits to his power. They thought that even if he could perform wonders, he could not do those things which they erroneously ascribed to the Baal and the Astoreths. For this reason, they tried Hashem to test his wrath. Another possible interpretation is that the pasuk alludes to Korach's defiance of Moshe as found in the Chumash Bamidbar. In the aftermath of this quarrel, they were required to mark the covering layer of the sacred kelim utensils as a sign that they would never again claim the priesthood for themselves. Pasuk Mem Beis, Pasuk 42. Leizachu es yado yom ashepadam mini tzor. They did not remember his hand, nor the day when he redeemed them from the adversary. How did they come to test him? Like in the previous pasuk. But they did not remember his hand, nor the day when he redeemed them from the adversary. Paro, who had afflicted them, they forgot the supernatural acts that Hashem performed for them. In Mitzrayim, he had made manifest his great power through the plagues that affected every aspect of creation, the water, the air, and also the supernal agents that were sent as messengers of evil. As we're going to learn in just a few minutes, the Pasuk and Mem test. Pasuk Mem Gimel now. Asher Sam Mem Mitzrayim, Ososav, Amosav, Bistay, so on. How he set his signs in Mitzrayim and his wonders in the field of Tzoan. Some say that Os and Mophes are synonymous. Signs are wonders, and wonders are signs. The Torah employs these expressions interchangeably. The Jews did not remember how he set his signs in Mitzrayim and his wonders in the field of Tzoan in Mitzrayim. Some explain they did not remember that Hashem himself in his glory had acted for their deliverance. What is more, had they remained in Mitzrayim any longer and become fully submerged in the 49 gates of defilement, they would never have come out. They were duty bound to remember and hence show themselves properly grateful. Others say that signs and wonders are different. Signs were those plagues preceded by a warning to the Mitzrayim and hence served as signs. Thus blood and frogs attested to the existence of Hashem. Wild beasts and the plague of cattle signified that nothing and no more can be likened to Hashem on earth. The wonders were the plagues not preceded by warnings. Lice, boils, and darkness did not signify anything. Following every two sign plagues, when the Egyptians refused to attend to these signs and did not heed his voice, Hashem beset them with a wonder, plague to humiliate them. They should have remembered the signs attesting to his oneness. Thus, prior to the blood, he said, "Thus you will know that I am Hashem." The pasuk is found in the Chumash Shemos. Prior to the wild beast, he said, "Thus you will know that I am Hashem in the midst of the earth." Prior to the hail, he said, "That you may know there is none like me in all the earth." Our Chachamim, our sages, expound. How he set his signs in Mitzrayim, the plagues of Egypt left marks in their bodies. His wonders in the field of Tzoan, the plagues were set inside them. Pasuk Mem Dalet, Pasuk 44. Ve'yapoch ledam yorehem v'nozlehem baal yishtoyu, and turned their river into blood so they could not drink their streams. The Torah begins with the first plague, that he turned their rivers into blood, so they could not drink their streams. Even the springs and fountains were turned to blood. Thus it says in Chumash Shemos, that they could not drink of the water of the river. Because they worshipped the river now, he turned their river into blood in order to smite their God. As the pasuk says in Yechezkel, "The river is my own, and I have made it." This was followed by God smiting as well all the streams that flowed from the Nile. This plague occurred because the Mitzrayim would not permit the daughters of Israel to immerse themselves in the streams. Pasuk 45. Yishalach bohem oro vayochlim v'sfardeya tashchisem. He sent among them the mixture of wild beasts which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. Although the plague of frogs took place before the plague of wild beasts, the Torah mentions them here in the reverse order. For the wild beasts devour the Egyptians, and the same holds true for the blood in the rivers and the streams. But the frogs only destroyed them and caused damage. The frogs had already destroyed them earlier, prior to the onset of the wild beasts. Pasuk Mem Vav, Pasuk 46. Vayitain lechosil yevulam vigiyom la'arbe. He gave also their produce to the chasuble, the caterpillar, and their labor to the locust. All their produce, the products of their labor, to feed themselves, as a pasuk that's found in Kehelis, was given over to the locust. Similarly, it says, the fruit of your land and all your labors will a nation that you know not eat up. It's a pasuk that's found in the Chumash Devarim and the Parshas Kisavo. Locusts are mentioned here immediately after the frogs, for the locusts also caused damage. But the hail killed, as it says in Chumash Shemos, the hail will come down and they will die. Pasuk Mem Zayin, Pasuk 47. Yarog Baborod Gafnam Vishikmosam Bachanoma. He killed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with a crushing layer, a frost. The plague of hail killed their vines, in allusion to killing their spirit that causes plants to blossom. Similarly, it says a pasuk in Iyov, its stock will die in the earth. The fig tree is more sturdy than the vine, and it was struck down by a strain of locust called Chanomel. Some say it means large hailstones. Sadja Gon explains that it refers to the hardened ice of the hail. It breaks off the buds of the trees and dries up the sap. The plural form Shikmosam refers to these two kinds of trees found in Mitzrayim. He killed their vines with hail and the sycamore trees. The word is Bachanomal, but red, Bo Noch Mal, came leisurely upon the stalks. The Chachamim explained that any Egyptian sitting down, compare vines hang low, was struck by hail, while those who were upright like trees were seared by the fire inside the hailstones. Similarly, both kinds of punishment are meted out to the wicked in Gehenna. Rebbe says that it came down like a shower of axes that cut down the trees. The vine is a frail tree, and hail is sufficient to kill it. Sycamore trees are more sturdy and cannot be destroyed by hail alone, so they will be set by locusts that consume everything bit by bit. It was explained above why the Torah mentioned here the hail before the cattle plague in reverse order to their occurrence. Another reason, having mentioned the locusts, it then mentions locusts again to convey that it consumed everything which survived the hail. Pasuk Mem Ches 48. He gave over their cattle to the hail and their flocks to fiery bolts. Many of the cattle and flock not taken inside died in the hail or else as a result of the fiery bolts within the hail. As the pasuk says in Chumash Shemos, so there was hail, fire flaming amidst the hail. He gave their cattle to the hail. Other sages explain, when the hail began to come down, every Egyptian rushed to gather his sheep inside, but the hail faced them like an impenetrable wall, whereupon they slaughtered the sheep for food, placed the meat on their shoulders, and rushed home. However, in the way, the birds snatched it, called the shofim here, snatched it away from them, as it says, their flocks to fiery bolts. Thus we find that the Torah refers to birds as reshofim. Pasuk that's found in Eof, it says that the Bnei Resha fly upward. The above is a homiletical interpretation. The plain meaning of Reshafim means fiery bolts, as it says, fire flaming amidst the hail, a pasuk found in Chumash Shemos. The Torah mentions a great wonder. Even though the hail killed their cattle, the birds that came near to devour the meat were not harmed by the hail. Now usually animals will flee a dangerous location, but here they remain standing as if locked into place. Hence, by Yaskar, literally locked in, the fiery bolts and the hail closed in the cattle and they could not move. Pasuk Mem Tes, Pasuk 49. Yishalach bam charon apo evra v'zam b'tzora mishlachas malachai ron. He sent forth upon them the fierceness of his wrath, fury and indignation and trouble, a delegation of evil messengers. Till here, the singer named five specific plagues. Now he speaks of them in a general way. Fierceness of his wrath, fury, and indignation and trouble refers to four of the plagues: lice, boils, cattle plague, and darkness. He specifically refers to the death of the firstborn separately, as we're going to learn in two psukim from now. These are the delegation of evil messengers. They are messengers because they came as envoys of God and by His will. There is a break in the text before the death of the firstborn is mentioned. The reason is that those four plagues were brought about via an intermediary, the angel of death, but the plague of the firstborn was effected without any intermediary. They are called a delegation because they came one after the other, as the pasuk says in Chumash Shemos, "Behold, I send upon you." Similarly, our sages speak of a delegation of wolves, Mishlachas Ze'evim. Thus, the plagues as first listed separately and then referred together as a delegation. It indicates that these plagues overlapped. In every plague, there was present a delegation from the other three. Some identify fury as alluding to the plague of darkness, as it says in Sephaniah, "That day is a day of fury, a day of darkness." Indignation, Zoam, refers to boils, for the victim dwells alone, full of indignation. Trouble refers to the plague of lice, a distress of the body. There were many different species of lice, ranging in size from the smallest, the size of chicken eggs, and the largest, the size of duck eggs. The fact that these plagues came intermixed also explains why no warning was given. Thus, when the plague of boils came, darkness and lice were also present, except that the boils were then the principal affliction. During the plague of lice, darkness and boils were also present, except that lice were then the principal affliction. Accordingly, some letters in the names of these plagues intertwine. Thus, the Ches of Choshech and the first letter of Shechin plus the first letter of Kinim is spelled Choshech. The second letter is spelled Shochein, and the last letter spelled Kinem. The singer mentions seven plagues and does not mention the other three. This conveys that each of them was preceded by a warning. That is extraordinary. When a king wants to smash an enemy, he most certainly does not want to warn him first, but Hashem announced those plagues before him. Nonetheless, Paro was unable to save himself. Some say Hashem wanted to show that the plagues were arranged so as to anticipate new plagues each time. Hashem knew that he would be bringing the plague of wild beasts, so he first brought the plague of frogs to cause destruction, but not total destruction. Likewise, when he brought the locusts to consume the produce, he previously arranged that the hail would not destroy the wheat and the buckwheat. The hail also spared their cattle. In order to afflict them later by an epidemic, the fierceness of his wrath. Some say that the present pasuk 2 refers to the hail. Thus it says about the hail in Chumash Shemos, "For I will at this time send all my plagues upon your heart." We find that none of the other plagues had power made the admission, "I have sinned this time. Hashem is righteous, and I and my people are wicked." The pasuk likens the hail to messengers because the hailstones had fire in them. Thus it says about messengers, angels, "His ministers are flaming fire." Pasuk Nun, Pasuk 50. Yefaleth nosiv la'apo lochosach mimoves nafsham v'chayosam ladover hiskir. He leveled thy path for his wrath. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. The singer says figuratively that divine retribution hastened to smite them, unimpeded by any obstacles. He leveled a path for his wrath, If the path had not been level, it might have stalled them and kept it from reaching them so quickly. Here, however, he spared not their soul from death. Not only did the path remove all obstacles from approaching death, but it even gave their life over to the pestilence. He leveled the path for his wrath. Hashem could have killed the firstborn in the pestilence, the plague of cattle, but he confined his wrath to killing only the cattle. Literally, he gave their animals, chesam, over to the pestilence. The plague that Hashem loosed over Egypt was not unrestrained. It had a definite path. It did not kill everything, but only what it was commanded to kill. What is more, when Hashem smote every firstborn, he prepared a path for the destruction to enter the houses of the Egyptians and not the houses of the Israelites. As the plague of the firstborn, the Egyptians had hidden away their firstborn in the houses of the Israelites. One Egyptian firstborn lay between two Israelite firstborns. Nonetheless, the Egyptian in the middle died, and the Jews were spared. Thus, he says here, he leveled a path for his wrath. It was as if Hashem had carefully determined a narrow path upon which he would skip from this one to that one, to make certain that he spared not their soul from death. Not a single Egyptian firstborn was to be spared. Although he could have killed all the firstborn in the pestilence, he only killed the cattle. This prepared the ground for the present miracle of how the Egyptian firstborn were killed. Gave their animals over to the pestilence. Pestilence was present in every plague, but it was also counted as a separate plague, the plague of cattle. Then it was particularly deadly to domestic animals. He spared not from death those whose time to die had come. On the contrary, not only had he not prolonged their life, but during the plague of the firstborn, he gave over to the pestilence those whose time had not yet come to die. He leveled a path for his wrath. All the afflictions that Hashem brought upon the Mitzrayim were effected through the just weight and measure of Hashem, as found in Mishlei. Even on the very day of his wrath, he did not go beyond the measure of what they deserved. He spared not, lochashach alludes to the three plagues not mentioned here, darkness, boils, lice, choshech, shchin, and kinam. We'll continue with Hashem in our next We are learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary of Ma'am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 41. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself for listening to this tape or CD, and or listening to our hundreds and hundreds of Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. And also may the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon, and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding chapter 78, Pasuk 18. Vayinasu kel bilvavam lishol ochel nafsham. And they tried Hashem in their heart by asking food for their craving. Although they had mun to eat and plenty of meat, as it says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. They yet demanded meat. According to our Chachamim, many of them only wanted to test Hashem. They did not say so outright, but tried Hashem in their heart by asking food for their craving. They demanded meat and scorned the man, declaring, "Our soul loves this miserable bread." The Midrash says in the name of Rabbi Levi, compare it to a son who was riding on his father's shoulder. Whenever he saw something and wanted it, he would ask his father for it, and the father handed it to him. This happened once, twice, three times. Then they came across a passerby, and the son asked him, "Have you seen my father anywhere?" The father retorted, "You ride on my shoulder, you get whatever you ask of me, yet you dare ask, 'Have you seen my father?'" He then cast his son down from his shoulder. A dog came along and bit the son. Similarly, when the Jews emerged from Mitzrayim, they were surrounded by the clouds of glory. They asked for bread, and Hashem brought down
mun for them, as it says, and he caused mun to rain upon them for food. They asked for meat, and he brought down meat. As it says, they asked, and he brought them quails. He provided for their every need, yet they said, is Hashem among us or not? Pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. So Hashem said, thus have you murmured, here's the dog that will bite you. Then a mullah came. They tried Hashem in their heart. They asked for meat only in order to test him, for the mun was a filling and delicious food. The present pasuk is thus a continuation of the earlier pasuk. They might not be as their fathers, a wayward and rebellious generation. Because of their craving for meat, they were stricken and devastated. According to the Chachamim, what they actually craved for was illicit flesh, but they pretended to speak about meat. Hence it says, they tried Hashem in their heart by secretly craving illicit sex, but openly asking food for their craving. Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk 19. Vayedabru belekim amru hayuchal el laroch shulchan bamidbor. Yes, they spoke against Hashem. They said, can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness? They spoke against Hashem. They did not speak openly, but in their hearts. Similarly, the Torah says, I said in my heart, a pasuk that is found in Kehelis. What did they say? Can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness? Can he really prepare both food and drink? He had already given them water to drink, as we learned in the previous pasuk. And now they also demanded food, as the Torah goes on to explain. Some explained the Torah as saying, first they thought of this in their hearts, and then they spoke of it, as we're going to learn right now in our pasuk Kof. Pasuk 20. Hein he called sur vayozuvu mayim unachalim yistofu hagam lechem yuchal peis im yochin she'er l'amo. Behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread? Will he provide flesh for his people? The Jews said, he has brought forth for us water and mun, but let us see a greater wonder. The miracle of mun coming down is, after all, much like the non-miraculous falling of rain and snow. As for water from a rock, this resembles the non-miraculous flow of springs from between rocks, but meat in the wilderness would be out of the ordinary. Can you also bring bread? They meant meat. Some say that bread literally means bread. Thus we find that the Jews referred to the excellent mun bread as this miserable bread, as found in Pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar. According to another interpretation, they said, lo, the miracle will not last. The miracle of the water was a one-time miracle. Afterwards, the waters simply continued to flow. On their own, the waters gushed out and streams overflowed each day. There was no change in nature, but this is different. Can he also give bread every day? Will he provide flesh for his people daily? The Jews also said, until now we have eaten man, a spiritual food. But can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness? A table consisting of physical foods for the body, as we already learned this passage. They answered their own question by pointing out that this should not be difficult. For behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out and streams overflowed, which is a physical phenomenon. If that is so, he can also give bread, real physical bread. He can provide flesh, which is a physical substance, for his own people. They reasoned as follows. Behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out, and this was faulty for two reasons. For one, at first there were only drops of water, and Moshe continued smiting the rock until water came gushing out violently, which is not good. Similarly, the Gemara says that when Choni Hamagel prayed for rain, it came down so hard that the streets of Yishalayim were flooded. The Chachamim had to ask him to pray once more so the rains would stop. Hence the Jews said here, can he also give bread? Can he who gave water give something that requires fire to warm it? Can he also give meat? For this reason they were punished through fire, measure for measure, as it says, Therefore Hashem heard and was angry, and a fire was kindled against Yaakov. This is going to be the next puzzle we're going to learn this from. Others explain that these words are spoken by the Holy Spirit in rebuke to Jews for demanding, "Can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness?" The response came, "Behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out and streams overflowed, which is contrary to nature. Assuredly then, he can also give bread, and he can provide flesh for his people." Pasuk Chavala, Pasuk 21. Lachain shama Hashem b'yisabor v'eish nisko b'yakov v'gam af ola b'Yisrael. Therefore Hashem heard and was angry, and a fire was kindled against Yaakov, and wrath also went up against Israel. Hashem saw the thoughts of their heart, that they did not believe in him. Therefore Hashem heard and was angry. Despite all the wonders he had shown them, as the pasuk earlier we learned, they still did not believe. He delivered them from Mitzrayim and cleaved the sea of Suf for them. He granted all that they asked of him in this regard, yet they did not trust in his deliverance. The present pasuk pertains to two things. It refers to the fire that was kindled among them on account of their sin, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar, and it refers to the deaths at Kivrot Hatava, in the aftermath of their craving for meat. Regarding the latter, his wrath also went up against Israel, who craved, as it says, "The wrath of Hashem smote the people." Regarding the miracle of drawing water from the rock, it has already been explained that at first it was only a trickle of water, followed by a gushing flow. Otherwise, the people could claim that the rock gave water because there was a water stored inside the rock. The gushing flow would have been immediate. Yet here they tried Hashem in their heart, contending, "Can Hashem prepare a table in the wilderness?" The water had come in stages, first as a trickle, and then flowing like rivers. But what about bread and meat? Can he also give bread? Will he provide flesh for his people out of nothing? As there was this skepticism, therefore Hashem heard and was angry, and a fire was kindled against Yaakov, and wrath also went up against the Jewish people, because they did not believe in Hashem and did not trust in his deliverance. Therefore Hashem heard. He knew that what they actually demanded in their hearts was to be permitted license that were now forbidden. As it says, "And Moshe heard the people weeping about their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of Hashem burnt greatly, and it was evil in the eyes of Moshe." Pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. Moshe saw only with his eyes, but Hashem heard what was in their hearts, and this was the same as if they actually said it. Pasuk Chavpeis, Pasuk 22. Ki lo ha'aminu elokim v'lo batchu b'shu osa, because they did not believe in Hashem and did not trust in his deliverance. Hashem had promised to supply them with bread daily, but they did not believe in Hashem. Others say they did not believe his promise that he would give them meat, or else that he could bring them into the land of Eretz Yisrael, notwithstanding that he had already brought them deliverance a number of times. They did not trust in his deliverance. This explains the earlier pasuk, they tried Hashem in their heart. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk 23. Vayitzav shechokim imo'al v'dalsei shemayim posach, and he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. The singer continues to explain in what way they did not believe in Hashem, as in the previous pasuk, despite all that he had done for them. He says figuratively, he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven to provide them with abundant water and an abundance of man. But they did not take heed of this in their heart. What is more, although they tried Hashem, he did not punish them by stopping the man. Afterwards, too, he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. The skies above refers to the source of the man, and the doors of heaven refers to the lower regions. He opened these in order not to impede the descent of the man from its source. Another interpretation says that this alludes to the layer of dew that came down first and upon which the man was then deposited. Thus, he opened the doors of heaven for the dew in order for the man not to become spoiled. Our sages expound, food for 2,000 years came down as man every day. They say, during the flood, two windows of heaven opened, and the flood lasted 12 months. Here it says that the doors of heaven were opened, which means eight windows, and since there are four windows in each door, this is equal to a quantity that is sufficient for 4 years. Now, take into consideration that the measure of blessing is 500-fold the measure of punishment. Therefore, there is an amount of food sufficient for 2,000 years. It was thus indicated to the Jews that if they conducted themselves properly, they would lack nothing during the era of the Torah for the next 2,000 years. The Mechilta relates, Rabbi Tarfon, the elders, Rabbi Elezer, Hamodoi were seated. The man was 60 cubits high. Rabbi Elezer and Modoi said to them, Modoi, how long will you still continue to astonish us? They responded, it is based on the pasuk in the Torah. He said, which measure is greater, the measure of good or the measure of bad? Say then that the measure of good is greater than the measure of bad. Thus it says regarding the measure of bad, on that same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken open, and the windows of heaven were opened. Then it is written, 15 cubits upward did the water prevail. Concerning our matter, therefore, we can say that if there were 15 cubits for the water to reach above the mountains, it was at least 15 cubits deep over the valleys. But it says regarding the measure of good, he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. There are four windows in the door, and four plus four is two doors, is eight windows. If corresponding to two windows there was a depth of 15 cubits, then corresponding to eight windows there was four times as much, or 60 cubits. So make the calculation that the man was 60 cubits high. He commanded the skies above. Our Chachamim explained this figuratively as follows. In the skies called Chokim, there are millstones which grind mud for the righteous in the world to come. As it says, he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he caused mud to rain upon them for food and gave them all the grain of heaven. Our Chachamim mean to say that the Jews in the wilderness tasted the mud of the world to come, because they ate up their portion of the world to come. For this reason, the desert generation has no share in the world to come. Hashem had to command the skies to grind mud for the righteous, and especially open the doors of heaven, because the Jews did not believe in Hashem, did not trust in His deliverance. Had they not sinned, the conduits of abundance would have gladly functioned on their own. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Pasuk 24. Vayam ter aleihem man le'echol udgan shemayim nosan lamo. And he caused man to rain upon them for food, and gave them of the grain of heaven. The singular likens the descent of man to rain. And he caused man to rain upon them for food, and he gave them of the grain of heaven. But came down from above, or else because it would come down together with the dew. As it says in Chumash Bamidbar, when the dew fell upon the camp at night, the man fell upon it. It would appear like grain sprouting from the ground, as the Torah goes on to explain. Some explain man had this characteristic property of grain, but it could be transformed into the food of one's desire. Bread has the feature that it requires no preparation, unlike grain, which must first be processed, ground, kneaded and baked. The man possessed both of these qualities. He caused man to rain upon them for food that can be eaten at once without any preparation, and gave them of the grain of heaven that could take on any taste in the world. The Jews called it man, which connotes preparation. It was a food ready to eat, requiring no expenditure of effort. Thus Moshe said to them, this is the bread that Hashem has given you to eat at once, and its savor was as of the world to come. Accordingly, the Torah says here, he caused man to rain upon them for food. It was ready for eating at once. What was it? He gave them of the grain of heaven. Then again, the Torah says, because their food was at hand every day, without any exertion on their part, they merited the grain of heaven. They could devote themselves totally to